I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh? Waiting on this for a while now. Paying my dues to the dirt. I've been waiting this
time. What is going on, guys? And welcome to another episode of JJ's Football Fix, your home of everything EPL. My name is Jordan Gifkins, and alongside me is absolutely no one this week because old mate Jake White, for unforeseen circumstances, could not make this week's podcast. Thus, I am riding Han Solo today. It's going to be awkward because I'm a type of guy that likes to laugh my own jokes. If I make any jokes, it's just going to be very awkward for anyone listening, but I love it nonetheless. It's good to be here for, you know, the sixth episode in a row, obviously, because I don't think we would have gone forward than backwards. That's just dumb. But six episodes now, 6 weeks in a row. Actually, it might be 7 weeks in a row, just due to that week off. I think we didn't do one that week. So everything I'm saying right now is complete bullshit. but we are here to review last week's EPL games. Some pretty big games, I'm not going to lie. We predicted a few interesting results. A couple of them came off, most notably my prediction of Watford to beat Man United. I am still buzzing. Just kidding, I didn't realise I predicted that until Jake told me about 3 days later that I realised. So we kicked things off on Saturday the 17th of September, with Chelsea 1, Liverpool 2. This is a pretty big game in the grand scheme of things, with Chelsea enjoying a fruitful start to the season, and Liverpool somewhat good. They've had a couple of average results, most notably against Burnley, but Chelsea coming into this undefeated, really the favourites for this clash, but it wasn't going smooth sailing for Chelsea early on, as Dejan Lovren put Liverpool up 1-0 early in the first half. Or Jordan Henderson, my bad, scored an absolute worldie from roughly 30 yards out into the far corner. And just an absolute piece of magic there for Liverpool. They went 2-0 into the break before Diego Costa managed to get one back. But it wasn't be for Chelsea on a day where they really could have kept their early season form going. Statistically, rather even. If anyone can hear background noise, apologies already. Got people over. So Chelsea had 4 shots, 4 of which on goal. Liverpool the 7... Did I say 4? 8 shots. Oh my God. 8 shots on goal, 4 on target. Liverpool 7 shots, 5 on target. Ball possession quite even to Chelsea's 52%, to Liverpool's 48%. The corner count, the all-important corner count, 6-4, Chelsea's way. Offsides also going the way of Chelsea. But West Brom versus West Ham's the next game. But it was a pretty interesting game here. West Ham deciding not to show up once again. Nasser Chadli converted an early penalty to give West Brom the lead. I do not believe it was his debut, or it might have been his debut. I can't confirm at the moment. Apologies. Rondon giving West Brom, the 2-0 advantage in the 37th minute before James McLean, 44 minutes in, giving the 3-0 lead into halftime. And Nasser Chadli again getting on the score sheet to go 4-0 up in the 56th. From there, it was all West Ham. West Ham through Antonio scoring that brilliant goal. I think it was a header, of course, to Antonio. Before Lanzini converted a penalty in the 65th minute to give West Ham a little bit of consolation. But West Brom too good, showing great signs early in the season. They continue to do well. Not too sure who they have next week, but if they can keep their early season form up, they do have Stoke. Okay, they will win. but if they can keep this early season form going, definitely bodes well for the continuation of the season. The momentum is growing. On to the next game, Manchester City versus AFC Bournemouth. Always predicted to be quite a one-sided game, and it showed on the pitch, really. Kevin De Bruyne scoring a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant free kick under the wall. Very cheeky in the 15th minute before Iheanacho, who is doing ever so well in the absolute... trying to follow in the footsteps of Aguero. As he gave him the 2-0 lead in the 25th minute. Raheem Sterling in the 48th minute, giving the 3-0 lead to Man City. Before Gundogan on his debut for Manchester City, scoring in the 66th minute to give the 4-0 win to Manchester City. And they are on fire at the moment after beating United last week, their first real test of the season. They turned it around against Bournemouth and absolutely flollicked them, if that's even a word. 16 shots to 5, plenty of possession. And the depth you can just see, they haven't even played Yaya Toure yet, I'm pretty sure. So, or Kompany, Vincent Kompany also absent from the team. And they continue to go undefeated in the league, sitting atop. And it doesn't look like anyone's going to be able to do anything about that because they are just simply on fire. Bournemouth, on the other hand, handed a debut to Jack Wilshere, starting in the centre of midfield, but he wasn't able to prevent the result. I do think he got substituted off, but I'm not certain. On to Leicester City versus Burnley. And Islam Slimani made his Premier League debut in fine fashion, scoring twice, right before and right after half-time, before Ben Mee scored an own goal for Burnley to give Leicester a 3-0 lead. 12 shots on goal to 7, plenty of possession. And Leicester, after a pretty stagnant start to the season, now sit 11th. Burnley, on the other hand, have their sole victory against Liverpool, so I guess you could say that they might be happy with that, but at the end of the day, Burnley's main goal is to avoid relegation. And hopefully they do it, because they are a very good team and they deserve a stay in the Premier League. On to Hull City, the team that's going to get relegated, who we both predicted were very bad, even though Jake's not here. I still say both. they took on Arsenal at Vicarage Road. Alexis Sanchez getting the scoring underway in the 17th minute before Jake Livermore handed Arsenal an even better chance of improving that scoreline by giving away a penalty and a red card. But it wasn't to be, as Alexis Sanchez missed the penalty. Well, actually got saved by Jakubovic, and to take the lead 1-0 at halftime. But from then on, it was all Arsenal. Theo Walker on the 55th minute, giving that 2-0 lead to Arsenal. It took a while before Robert Snodgrass was able to convert a penalty after being taken down by Peter Cech, and give Hull a little bit of a lifeline, 2-1 with 10 minutes to go. But Sanchez and Chaka with the absolute brilliant goal, handing Arsenal a 4-1 lead. And we banged on about Arsenal, you know, a bit of mediocre to start the season, but, you know, they're sitting fourth at the moment. They've lost the one game, and they really look the real deal once again this season. Hopefully they can do a bit better than the fourth finishing they've had in the last few seasons. I think it's quite funny that they're sitting fourth right now, but we won't go into that. On to the next game. We have Everton versus Middlesbrough, our mob Everton. And Middlesbrough actually took the lead 21 minutes in, dubiously, after Martin Stekelenburg was fouled, but the ref called play on, and the ball trickled into the net after Negredo challenged him. It seemed to fire up Everton just a little bit. They were quite average early on, to say the least. But after that goal, they just turned it on. Gareth Barry converting in his 600th game for in the Premier League. Sorry, I think that's like third or fourth all-time record, so I'm not too sure. But he converted after the ball fell to him at the back post from a corner, before Seamus Coleman in the 42nd minute. Great solo goal to give Everton the lead. And Romelu Lukaku or Yannick Bolasie, take your pick, whoever scored. In the 45th minute, regardless, it was a goal to Everton, and Everton went into halftime 3-1 up, and they kept that all the way to the finish line. Everton remaining undefeated, one of just three teams in the Premier League now to not lose a game. Statistically, Middlesbrough not one shot on target, but they did end up scoring, so pretty interesting. Everton 11 shots on goal, majority of possession and majority of corners. Neil will put in corner count. Onto Watford versus Manchester United. And this game was rather interesting because we did predict that Watford were going to win. Well, I did anyway. Jake predicted a Manchester United win. But their week last week was just absolutely shocking. They lost the Manchester Derby, then they lost in Europe to Feyenoord, then they go to Blackridge Road and they struggled hard. It's a shame for Manchester United after such a promising start to the season, but two losses on the trot in the Premier League has left them back down in seventh, and maybe not the real deal that they all predicted, but they did play not too bad this game. However, things kicked off early with Etienne Capoue in the 34th minute handing Watford a 1-0 lead before Marcus Rashford, of course. Who else is going to score for United apart from Ibrahimovic? Converting in the 62nd minute, actually assisted by Ibrahimovic, so pretty interesting stat there. But it was Zuniga, just a minute after coming on, who scored to put Watford in front in the 84th minute before Troy Deeney converted a penalty in the 5th minute of stoppage time after Bailey fouled Zuniga. Fellaini fouled Zuniga, and Deeney wrapped it up with a 3-0 victory. Manchester United did look good, but they unfortunately could not get the chocolates. Watford having 10 shots, or Man United also having 10, United enjoying most of the possession. So, yeah, it was a good game for the neutral. I certainly enjoyed watching it. But as I said, United flailing off a little bit, two losses on the trot in the Premier League, but we'll see how they can bounce back this week. Before we get into that, though, a little bit more to go in this last week's review. And it's Crystal Palace versus Stoke. Stoke City being probably the most disappointing team in the Premier League so far this season, yet to win a game, and that continued against Palace. James Tomkins opening the scoring in the 9th minute for Crystal Palace before Scott Dan, so both centre-backs, getting in the action in the 12th minute. It took until the 72nd minute for James McArthur to score the third goal for Palace before 3 minutes after that, Andros Townsend scored a great goal from outside the box to give Palace their fourth. Arnautovic scoring that consolation goal in stoppage time. I think it was with the last kick of the game, to be honest, but Palace with that 4-1 victory. Statistically, Palace deserved it. They had one less shot, so they didn't quite deserve it. They had one less shot, more on target, and a little bit more possession in the corner count, of course, being very important. I'm going to bang on about that quite often. To give Palace, I think it was their second win of the season. Yes, they are now 8th on the table. That's ridiculous. But good on them. On to the second last game of the game week. We have Southampton versus Swansea City. I'm not going to lie, I didn't enjoy watching this game. I did watch it. Southampton completely dominated, and I needed both teams to score in my multi, so it just wasn't really going for me. That multi, of course, brought to you by Bet365, your home of everything EPL betting. So Southampton had 17 shots to Swansea's at 9, but it took them until the 64th minute when Charlie Austin prodded home at the back post to give Southampton that 1-0 advantage and that win. Southampton struggling so far this season, just their first win. Swansea City also on one win. But Southampton, they looked pretty good all game, I'm not going to lie. They deserved their victory, but I was just hoping that both teams scored, to be honest. Didn't really care who won, even though I sort of like Swansea a little bit more than Southampton due to a kind of mate of mine that supports Swansea. But apart from that, like, I didn't really care who won. On to the last game of the game week, and we have Tottenham Hotspurs versus Sunderland. And this game was quite boring as well, I'm not going to lie. Sunderland, the deserved winners in the end, after Harry Kane scored an absolute AIDS-as-fuck goal in the 59th minute to give Tottenham the 1-0 win. I'm not sure who it was. I think it was Dilaboje. I'm pretty sure, I'm not certain. Just decided to turn into an absolute spastic and miss the ball or something like that, and Kane just turned it home. I'm not really sure. I was pretty much asleep, but I was watching it. Statistically, Tottenham 24 shots to 6, 75% possession. It looked like they deserved to win by a little bit more, to be honest. And they continued their undefeated start to the Premier League season. So, pretty interesting week. Some results here, like the Watford result and the West Brom result and the Liverpool result. Ooh, you know, a little bit against the run of play, maybe, and probably against what most people thought, but, you know, that's football. Football's a funny game. As we move on to the table and we cover those key statistics in each area of the statistics, of course. Starting with the top goal scorer chart, and it is Diego Costa and Mikel Antonio, who are joint on 5 goals at the top of the Golden Boot. On 4, we've got Kapuei, Lukaku and Ibrahimovic rounding out that top 5. More notable names on 3, got Sanchez, Fer, Raheem Sterling, Robert Snodgrass pops up with 3 as well, and Aguero has also scored 3 despite missing the last 2 games. In the assist chart, we have a clear leader of 4 people on 3 assists. So we've got Alex Iwobi, who's having a very good start to the season with Arsenal, the young 19-year-old, I think he is, or 20. With 3 assists, Dimitri Payet, just back in the team recently, already has 3 assists. Iheanacho, who's another who's enjoying a very good season, has 3. And Kevin De Bruyne, his teammate, has 3 assists as well, as we go look at the table. And Manchester City remain 5 wins from 5 at the top of the table with 15 points. They've scored 15, they've conceded 4. They are the clear benchmark this season. Everton in 2nd place, another undefeated team, 4 wins from 5. With the 1 draw. They've scored 10 in their 5 games and they are looking quite good, albeit an easy run so far. But, you know, you can only, you know, versus a team that's in front of you, and they've beaten 4 of those teams. So, you know, pretty impressive. Tottenham Hotspur, the last remaining team that's undefeated. 5 wins and 2, 5 played, 3 wins, 2 draws from their opening 5 fixtures. 8 goals in the process, so they haven't quite hit their straps. 4 of those goals obviously coming last week against Stoke, so realistically they've only scored 4 and 4. So, you know, somewhat okay. I mean, I wouldn't say it's been a great start for them, but I wouldn't say it's been a bad start. I certainly think they could do a little bit better, but, you know, they're getting the results and that's what matters. Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool round out 4th to 6th, all on 10 points at the moment. All very impressive teams so far. Man United in 7th position on 9 points. Crystal Palace, Watford, West Brom, Leicester and Hull all on 7 points. Middlesbrough and Southampton take up 13th and 14th position on 5 points. Swansea, Burnley and Bournemouth all on 4 points. West Ham United currently just the 1 win from 5 as they sit in 18th position on 3 points. While Sunderland and Stoke each with the only sole point, as they look likely to be relegated this season unless something changes very quickly. But that is the review of last week in the Premier League, albeit quite short. We didn't have the expert analysis from Jake White, but unfortunately for us, that is, but fortunately for us, we can get through it a little bit quicker and keep you guys interested. And that's what matters. So, moving on to this week's fixtures. We have a few to cover. And it is always good opening up with a Manchester game on a Saturday night here in Australia, or a Saturday morning in the UK, as Manchester United hosts Leicester City. Manchester United currently in 7th position. Leicester City in 11th, last season's champions. They did play twice last season, of course. Leicester City drawing 1-1 with Manchester United in May of this year. It was also a 1-1 draw in the first game between these two sides at the start of the year. And the Community Shield this year, Manchester United did beat them. So it's going to be an interesting game. I personally think Manchester United is going to win. They're paying 173 thanks to Bet365. The game's at Old Trafford, so, you know, Leicester will beat the champions. Manchester United can't really look past them. I think they'll bounce back. But that's just me. I hope Ibrahimovic has a big game due to fantasy football. So my odds are on Manchester United there. Moving on to Swansea City versus Manchester City. And this game is, in my opinion, probably going to be one of the most one-sided games of this week. Manchester City just, you know, 5 wins from 5, first on the table, versus Swansea City sitting in 15th position with just the 1 win. Manchester City, you know, they play that brand of football that, you know, I feel like they could get caught on the counter because a lot of their defensive players do push up quite high. As we've seen, you know, with John Stones and Otamendi and whoever's playing that centre-back role just pushes up into that sort of DM role and even further occasionally. Swansea, on the other hand, you know, they've been, you know, up and down a little bit this season, mostly down with just that 1 win from 5. But they have showed signs. Leroy Fer, if anyone's going to do something, will probably be the man to do it. But I can't look past Man City on this one. Moving on to Sunderland versus Crystal Palace at the Stadium of Light, refereed by Anthony Taylor, of course. Sunderland, not much you can say about him this season. Just the 1 draw from their 5 games without a win. So, certainly struggling, to say the least. You know, you look at them and think where the goal's going to come from. You look at probably only Jermaine Defoe, who scored twice this season, but apart from that, their only one other goal has come from Patrick Van Aanholt, and he plays left back. So they've just got to get that you know, run of goals into players. You know, those sort of midfield forward players. Look at Duncan Watmore, who, you know, probably ready to start making his mark. Very young, but ready to make his mark in the Premier League. And Nichibi, they've signed Yanazai on loan. Jack Rodwell sits in the middle of the park and can hit a ball. So, you know, Sunderland just have to make use of the players they have at their disposal and, you know, get them into scoring opportunities. Palace, on the other hand, coming off a very good victory against Stoke, 4-1. They did get knocked out in the Cup midweek, unfortunately. I will not be covering Cup in this episode, by the way, because I forgot. they're enjoying an okay season. They're in 8th position, 2 wins and a draw from their opening 5 fixtures. As we look at their squad and majority of their goals so far have actually come from defenders. They've got 2 goals from Scott Dan and a goal from James Tonkin. So 3 goals from their defence, and they've only scored 7 goals. So not a majority of their goals. But Benteke has scored 1, Zaha scored 1, Townsend scored 1, MacArthur has scored 1. But their biggest goal scorer so far this season is centre-back Scott Dan. So the 29-year-old is getting in on the action. I personally think there's going to be a draw. I kind of think Sunderland might bounce back and get their second point of the season. Crystal Palace, albeit a better, I can see this being a game where they struggle. And I just think it's going to be a draw, maybe a 1-1 or a 2-2 draw. But we'll see. You know, that's not going in my multi. It's a bit of a risk. And those on Bet365 probably shouldn't do that. So we'll see what happens. Stoke City versus West Brom. Another game that's, you know, a little bit intriguing because Stoke City are so bad this season, while West Brom have been very, very impressive. They've had some incredible results, most notably against West Ham last week, where they came out firing and won 4-2. West Brom sitting 10th, Stoke City sitting 20th. So the bookies favouring a Stoke City win here, paying 230. But I'm actually thinking West Brom might just win this game. I think Stoke, they haven't scored many. They've also scored 3 alongside Sunderland. You look where their goals are coming from, and you think they just need to get more out of their attack. It's Shaqiri scoring 1, Bojan another, and Arnautovic scoring that goal last week. An absolute cracker. But you look at players, you know, Mama Biram Diouf, the striker, the Senegalese striker, is yet to score. Boney, he's only just made his debut. Hopefully he can add goals to their game. Peter Crouch, the man, the myth, the legend, yet to score in the Premier League. West Brom have been very impressive. And you look at Nasser Chadli, the signing of Nasser Chadli has just been absolutely incredible for him. He had a fantastic game last week. If he continues his form, then I definitely cannot look past them. And I think they'll get the chocolates. Moving on to the next game, and that is Middlesbrough versus Tottenham Hotspur. An interesting game. I don't know about Middlesbrough. I think they're a lot better than their position suggests. They are 13th. They had a very good start to the season, but they have lost the last 2 games now. I do believe, anyway, I'm just going to put it out there and think they have. Yeah, they have. They've lost to Palace and Everton. After getting wins against only Sunderland and a draw against West Brom and Stoke. So they sort of had an easy run, and they've just started versing some pretty impressive teams and not quite winning. But I do rate their squad. I think they definitely have the squad to go mid-table in the Premier League. Tottenham, on the other hand, undefeated. I don't think it's going to change. I think Tottenham will win this game, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a draw. Just with Tottenham, you know, not really hitting their straps yet this season, I can see a sort of stagnant performance from them. Maybe struggle to get on the score sheet, but Harry Kane is fine in the back of the net now, and I do think he'll score again tonight and continue his ripe form and score for a third game in a row. On to Liverpool versus Hull, and this game is just going to be an absolute blowout. I think Liverpool's going to win 4 or 5 nil. I don't think Hull are going to be very good. We saw it last week. Hull, you know, struggled at home against Arsenal, and now they travel to Liverpool, a team who is pretty much on par with Arsenal this season and scoring goals for fun, really. And you look at their scorers this season, and you go scroll down to Sturridge's name, and he is yet to score. Neither is Danny Ings. I think Danny Ings is still injured, and Origi. I'm not too sure about them. But Sturridge is yet to score. You just look at their scorers. Mane, 2. Firmino, who they have been playing as striker, has scored 2. Coutinho has scored 2. Henderson, with that worldie last week, has scored 1. Milner scored 1. Lallana scored 2. Lovren with that last week goal. So they just keep scoring. And I honestly think, you know, like I said, 4-0, 5-0. Hull City probably going to get absolutely molested. Moving on to the next game here. Bournemouth versus Everton, and this game, obviously being an Everton supporter, intrigues me, but it's just intriguing as an Everton supporter to see how we perform against a ball-playing side away from home, because we haven't really versed a team that is very adamant on keeping possession, apart from Tottenham, which was very even, but we were at home. But I'd love to see how we go against a team who loves to keep possession away from home. So we'll see how we go. I do think this game's going to be a draw, just because, you know, after watching the Everton of old for the last 3 years, or 2 years, 3 years ago we were good, but 2 years now, and you just see these sort of fixtures are the ones that we look at and think, you know, it's probably going to be a draw. Like, but I don't know, we've been pretty good in the Premier League so far. Hopefully we can get the win, but I'm going for a draw on this one. On to the last game tonight, we have Arsenal versus Chelsea. Very, very, very enticing game here. I think this is going to be a Arsenal victory, and I think it's going to be quite high scoring, to be honest. I think a 3-2 result probably, you know, would be a favourable result for Arsenal. I think Chelsea last week struggling against Liverpool. Arsenal just keep on scoring at will. Both teams have scored quite a few goals in the Premier League, 22 combined over the 10 games. So, you know, I think even though Chelsea are notoriously quite good here at the Emirates, I do think it's going to be an Arsenal victory. Arsenal currently sitting in fourth place, of course. Just want to mention that again. A player I think actually could have a massive game tonight is Giroud. He hasn't scored yet this season, but if he gets the opportunity to score, I think he's going to take it, and I think he might play a massive role tonight. Chelsea, you know, obviously you can't look past Diego Costa. He's going to be the player for them. He has scored 5 goals already this season. But Hazard, you know, I can't tell if he's had a good or bad season, but he's certainly having a better season than last season, put it that way. But, you know, for the player he is, I think he can do a little bit better. Just 2 games to go now in the game week, and we have a West Ham versus Southampton. Oh boy, I can't wait to watch this game. Yay. West Ham struggling in 18th position. Southampton struggling in 14th position. To me, this either has like a 3-3 or a 0-0 written all over it. I don't think West Ham's going to win. I don't think Southampton's going to win. I think Southampton are a better chance of winning just based off their general play in last week's game against Swansea. But I think West Ham absolutely atrocious. They've not showed any signs of playing well. They only just scraped over the line against Accrington Stanley midweek after a Dimitri Payet 90th minute free kick. So, you know, they've struggled against Watford. They lost 4-2 after being up 2-0. They lost to West Brom. They've conceded 8 goals in their last 2 Premier League games, and another 3 on top of that against Man City before that. So their sole win coming against Bournemouth to me, they're just not the team they were last season. I know they have a few injuries here and there, but for me, a majority of the players they have out there should be performing better than they are. And I guess if they bounce back tomorrow night, then maybe it can be the start of their revival. But until that happens, I'm not too sure. The last game now is Burnley versus Watford. And as I stated, Burnley struggling in 16th position. But that one win against Liverpool may be giving him a little bit of hope. Watford in 9th position, performing quite admirably now after beating West Ham and then Manchester United in consecutive weeks, scoring 7 goals in their last 2 after the losses to Arsenal and Chelsea. So, yeah, I'm not too sure what to gauge on West Ham as of yet. I think they're a good team, but I don't know how good. Therefore, I am not sure what to predict on this result. I do think it's going to be a draw. It's probably not going to be that interesting of a game, but if anyone's going to win, I think Watford will win, but I think it's going to be a draw personally. So that wraps up the podcast this week. Unfortunately, probably slightly shorter than I would have liked, and a shame we didn't have anyone to jump in here with me. It feels weird talking to myself for 31 minutes. I can't say I've done it too often. That's why I've never made it in YouTube or anything like that. But hopefully, you know, it was good. I hope you guys enjoyed it. So until next week, I hope your team wins this week, unless you're a Bournemouth supporter. And until then, I will talk to you next week. See ya. I'm on top of the world, hey.